That was a quick video. Well, this morning we're this is our Car Cruise Sunday, but we're also in the middle of a series. If you're new here, we've been going through this series and started it last week, and it's a series entitled "Epic." We're looking at stories from the Bible that most of us have heard, or some of us have heard. Maybe you haven't before, but they're very common stories found in the Old Testament. And today we're going to be looking at one of those. And since it is Car Cruise Sunday, speaking of cars, do you ever get frustrated when you're in your car, you're driving in your car? I know I do, and usually the time that I get most frustrated is when I'm stuck behind a slow driver. Have any of you ever been stuck just like this? You're stuck. You can't go anywhere. You're trapped, and you're stuck behind that slow driver. The worst is when you're running late and you're stuck behind a slow driver. It really stinks. And if you're going 35 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, you can be pulling your hair out. And usually in that moment, you have a few options. One, you can lay on the horn like there's no tomorrow, using your horn as a subtle reminder that you are behind them. Or you can try another way, a shortcut. The problem is I've usually found out that the other way is rarely shorter and not very fast. Or the third option is we can wait. We can wait. And that one sounds like fingernails on a chalkboard. We hate waiting. Why is it we hate waiting behind a slow driver? Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's because your car has so much horsepower that you hate wasting it, being stuck behind this slow car. Now, I'm going to venture to guess that for most of us, it's probably not the case unless you recently souped up your minivan and turned it into a family-friendly racing machine. So why is it that we hate getting stuck behind a slow car? Or why is it maybe it's not getting stuck behind a slow car for you? Maybe it's getting into the line at the grocery store and you just happen to be behind the one person that decided to buy out the entire store and position themselves right in front of you. And you just stand there and wait as groceries are being scanned. What is it that we hate about that? The thing that we hate is because we hate waiting. We hate waiting for anything. It frustrates us. It annoys us. That's why when we go to a fast food place and go through the drive-thru, we get annoyed if our food isn't ready by the time we reach the second window. It's called fast food, and we want our food fast. Or we hate when we go on the internet and it takes more than 2 or 3 seconds for a website to load. We hate waiting. It's frustrating to us. And before you chalk that up as just kids these days don't know how to wait, it's really part of human nature. We hate waiting for anything. You can go all the way back to the beginning of time and people hated waiting for things. If you go back to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, in the first book of the Bible, you read about Adam and Eve eating of the forbidden fruit, and it says they ate of it because they wanted to gain wisdom. Isn't wisdom something you gain over years of experience? They wanted it right away. They hated to wait. And today, we hate waiting. But if waiting is so difficult for us, how do we ever experience the results of longevity and perseverance? In fact, some of the most valuable resources in our world come over a period of time. It takes time to develop them. A $250,000 Rolls-Royce takes over 3.5 months to build by hand. Look at that car. Wouldn't that be a great car? You'd basically be paying it off for your lifetime and your kid's lifetime and the kid's lifetime after that. But what an awesome car. Over 3.5 months it takes to build that. Or for valuable pearls, it takes between 10 and 12 years for pearls to develop inside of an oyster. 10 to 12 years. It takes usually 18 years to get a high school diploma. Maybe for some of you, it took a little longer, but we won't talk about that. But usually like 18 years to get that highly sought-after high school diploma. It takes time to get things that are valuable. Often the most valuable things in life will take time. Even the intangibles like relationships and trust, they take time. So how do we experience the things that matter most when we hate to wait? We hate waiting for things. And what it takes is a combination of things. It takes a combination of patience and persistence. Patience with our current circumstances and persistence with our current efforts. And sometimes, just like we do when we're stuck behind a slow car, we can lose patience and try shortcuts. We try to shortchange these things. So rather than experiencing deep, meaningful relationships, we settle for surface ones because we just don't have time for that. Or rather than finding ourselves in a job and a career we can grow and develop and really settle into, we jump from company to company trying to find that place where we can get the quickest upward mobility. We shortchange things because we hate to wait. Now, I'm not saying any of these are bad, but they can rob us of enjoying the things, the best things in life, the things that God desires for us, the things that take time. With today being Car Cruise Sunday, with a car, there are all kinds of different formulas with fuel and fuel additives and oil and all of those things. I'm not real good with that stuff, but I know I like watching the shows, and you can mix different things together. So I have a formula for you today. Here's the formula. Patience plus perseverance equals fulfilled promises. Patience plus perseverance equals fulfilled promises. If patience and persistence is what keeps you moving forward, God's promises are what you're moving forward towards. When there's a promise that God has given you, it makes the wait worth it because you know you're holding on to something. You're looking towards something. Let me give you an example. On Sunday, November 28th, 2010, I was a very excited person, but very nervous at the same time, because this was the day that I would propose to Heidi. And I'll never forget the day. I went to church. It was a Sunday, so I went to church that morning and couldn't wait for church to get out. I felt like church was going forever. And then that evening, we went out for dinner, and we had the 30-minute ice skating in downtown Pittsburgh, which she hates. She hates ice skating, but I made her do it just to spite her. Not really, but we had 30 minutes of ice skating and then an hour-long carriage ride through downtown Pittsburgh. And it felt like forever. It was a long time until I actually got down on one knee and proposed to her. But you know what? It wasn't a chore at all. You know why it wasn't a chore? Because of the promise of what was to come. Because when there's a promise that you're holding on to, when there's a promise at the end, the patience and persistence isn't a struggle. It isn't a struggle at all. Patience and persistence become possible when there's a promise that you're looking toward. Let me give you an illustration from the Bible. In the first half of the Bible that we call the Old Testament, there's a story of an older man, older gentleman, that God uses to change the course of history. This man's name was Noah. And as we pick up this story, Noah was 500 years old. Now, this is a time period before disease and sickness had settled into the human race like it has today, so people's lifespans were a little bit longer. Now, on a side note, what in the world would you buy someone for their 500th birthday? I was thinking about this. How could you get them anything that they don't already have? 500 years, that's a long time. That's older than the United States. So he's 500 years old, and God asks Noah to build this giant boat, or what the Bible calls an ark. Because God says that he's going to send this massive flood that will cover the entire earth, and Noah obediently acts, and he starts to build this boat according to God's specifications. We don't know exactly how long it took Noah to build this boat, this ark, but most scholars believe it was somewhere between 55 and 75 years. Can you imagine working on something for 55 or 75 years? He worked on one thing for that whole span. I can't imagine what it would be like every day after day, week after week, year after year, going to do the same thing, this massive project. It would take an entire lifetime for most of us today. But what kept Noah moving? What kept him continuing every day to work on this boat, on this ark? Not becoming impatient during the decades and decades of waiting and working, but he kept going. What was it that kept him going? It was God's promise. It was God's promise to Noah and his family of a new beginning. That promise kept Noah moving forward. What could possibly keep someone building this giant ship? He wouldn't see it even in the form of a ship for years. But he just kept chipping away at it. Even through the jeers and the taunts that Noah would have received, he kept moving. You see, Noah was building this big boat, but there wasn't a body of water anywhere. Could you imagine building a giant boat and there's no body of water? There's no ocean, there's no sea, there's no water. People taunted him, jeered at him. And through it all, he kept on building. Why? Because of God's promise. Because of the promise that God made for him, made to him. And maybe this morning you're here and you're ready to give up. You've tried and tried to be patient, and you've tried waiting, but it's not working for you. You're ready to throw in the towel. You've had enough. You're ready to maybe give up on your marriage, give up on your kids, maybe on your career or schooling. You just can't do it anymore. You ask the question that thousands have asked throughout history. Is it even worth it? You're tired of waiting. Waiting stinks. And what can happen over a period of time, the longer you go without experiencing the fulfillment of a promise, your questions shift from when will this happen to if this will even happen. And I've sat across from folks who are single wondering, will I ever meet Mr. or Miss Right? Or from couples asking, when will we have this privilege of starting a family finally? I've sat with individuals who have asked, well, when am I going to finally see this opportunity in my job or my career? And we ask these questions and we wonder, how long do I have to wait? When is enough enough? And Noah, for a period of decades, stuck with this giant boat. There wasn't an ounce of rain. There was no water. All he had to hold on to was a promise that God had given him. That's it. Sometimes in life, and maybe you're here this morning, this is where you're at. All you have to hold on to is a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise that God has given you. These moments can be difficult. They can require immense patience and persistence. And when we understand that the only thing we can hold on to is a promise, we keep our eyes fixed on that. We keep pressing forward. The truth is, though, that no matter how great the promise, the waiting can still be difficult. It can sometimes seem like God has forgotten you. Are your prayers hitting the ceiling? Does God even care about you? And God does care so much. God sees the struggle of waiting. While he would love to cut that season of waiting short, he's practicing his own measure of patience. Have you ever thought about this? That in our patience, while we're waiting and we're wondering, God, when are you going to bring this promise to a reality? And God, when is this going to happen? When am I going to meet this person? Or when is this job opportunity going to finally open? Or when can we finally have kids? Whatever it might be for you. In that season of waiting, it feels like God has forgotten you. But have you ever thought that maybe God is waiting too? See, God is patient too. He's patient with us. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Can you say promise? Promise. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Can you say patient? Patient. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Sometimes it feels like God is slow. God is always the last minute. You're wondering, God, when is this going to happen? And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. But maybe God is being patient with you. Getting back to the story of Noah, through the decades that Noah took to build the ark, this giant boat, Noah wasn't the only one being patient. God was being patient too. See, God was relenting on sending this flood, decade after decade after decade, because he was giving people a chance. In his grace and his mercy, He was giving people a chance to turn from their wickedness. The reason God was sending this flood was because the whole earth had turned from him and had become incredibly wicked, more wicked than the earth had ever been before. Noah and his family were the only righteous people on the entire face of the earth, and God was going to send this flood. But God's love and mercy was extended, and he relented. He was patient, waiting decade after decade after decade, because he loved his creation. And I know we don't usually think of things from God's perspective, but while it takes our patience and persistence through these waiting seasons of life, what if God is being patient with us? What if God is waiting to develop us? For those of you that have kids, think back to the time when you were potty training your children. Wouldn't it have been nice to just flip a switch and all of a sudden your kids know they're supposed to go to the bathroom and the toilet and potty training is over? Wouldn't that be great? But no, you were patient with them. Patient to teach them and to help them see what they're supposed to do and love them and care for them through that process. You were patient with them. Or maybe you don't have kids. You can think back to your first job and how your boss gave you time to learn the skills and the procedures that you needed to execute for your job. He didn't expect you to just walk in and be an expert, but he gave you space and time. He was patient with you. God is patient with us out of a heart of love and compassion. It's not just us waiting, but God is waiting too. He's giving you opportunity to grow and to develop into the man or the woman of God that will be able to step right in to that promise, perfectly fit for you. And when we're waiting, we can ask a lot of questions and just know, maybe God is waiting too. In those seasons of waiting, God is actually being patient. He's allowing you the time to grow and to develop. Rather than shortchanging that entire process, he waits. The same is true in every situation where we've had to learn a new skill or ability. I remember when I was 16, well, actually when I was 15 years old, my uncle gave me a car. It was my first car. And it was an awesome car. It was actually a car that I loved all of my life. And he had bought this car. He was single. He wasn't married. And he bought this two-door sports car in 1987. I was 6 years old. And from that point until I turned 15, I loved this car. It was a Renault GTA. If any of you know what a Renault is, it's not a real fancy car. It's not a real fast car, but it looked fast. That was the important thing. The big thing, though, was it was a five-speed. It wasn't an automatic. I loved this car. When I turned 15, my uncle gave it to me. He got a new car, and he gave this to me. So I let it sit in our driveway for a year and just looked at it and loved it. And when I turned 16, now it was time to drive, and I had to learn to drive a five-speed. Can any of you drive? How many of you can drive a five-speed manual? Good number of you. It's a pain. It's really frustrating. As a 16-year-old, it was incredibly frustrating. I remember my dad trying to teach me to drive a five-speed. And my dad, God bless him, he was patient with me. I was ready to sell the car and say, forget this, I'm buying an automatic. I can't do this anymore. I'm sick of it. I remember one day, my dad picked me up at school after basketball practice, and he had our one car that was a five-speed, and said, Nick, you can drive home. I was so scared because I'm in the school parking lot with this five-speed. And I can't stall it out because all my friends would see me stall out this car and it would shake. That'd be really embarrassing. So I'm pulling out of the school parking lot and I didn't want to stop because I knew once I stopped, then I have to push the clutch in and start all over again. So I'm just like easing into stop signs and not stopping. And I finally get out of the school parking lot and driving home, and we're driving down the road and my dad says, Nick, you need to shift. I was like, oh, okay. So I go to shift. And he's like, Nick, I'm on the road. And when I shifted, I went like this and like was swerving off the road. My dad was incredibly patient with me. You know, if my dad hadn't given me the space to learn, I would not be able to drive a five-speed today. I wouldn't enjoy the pleasure of driving a five-speed. I love it now. It takes time. It takes space. It takes patience. And sometimes when we are being patient and persistent, God on the other side is saying, you're doing really well. Just keep going. I'm waiting. I'm waiting until you're ready. I'm waiting until you're ready to see that promise fulfilled. Because oftentimes we have a distorted perspective of our own lives. We think we're ready before we are. But God, in his incredible view of history and of our lives, knows when we're ready to see a promise fulfilled. And God oftentimes is waiting. When you feel the struggle of patience and the pain of persistence, know that God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you to be fully equipped for the good works he has planned for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God is preparing us for those good works. God will always build your character before he builds your influence. I'll say that again. God will always build your character before he builds your influence, because he doesn't want your platform to crush you. He will always build your character before he builds your influence, because he doesn't want your platform to crush you. He's always preparing you for what's next. He's preparing you. What keeps us going is not the obligation of what you're doing, but it's the promise of what is coming. The promise of what God will do. God gives Noah his promise in Genesis chapter 6 that he was going to establish this new covenant with Noah. A covenant of grace that he would spare Noah and his family, and they would experience something that only one other family in history would experience. To be the only family on the face of the earth. The other family was Adam and Eve. What a privilege. That kept Noah moving, that promise. God was going to make all things new again. It would be a new start. And for anyone that's ever built a house or rebuilt a car, you can relate to the long, tireless nights involved, the periods of seeing little progress, but sticking with the project because you know the end product will be worth it. God does that for us. He knows that the end product will be worth it, and he sticks with us because he knows that he's working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he's patient with us, and he waits for us. But it can be so painful. The journey for Noah would take years. Day after day, week after week, year after year, Noah stuck with the project. And after decades of working on this big, giant boat, this project would finally be complete. And it was gigantic. The boat, this ark, was some 3 stories, 45 feet tall. The deck spanned 36 tennis courts. That's huge. It would be 450 feet long. Now, in today's time period, that's big. But we have all of this equipment. He didn't have that. They didn't build ships like that. He was the first one. He was the first shipbuilder in history. And he stuck with it because of the promise that God had given him. And at the age of 600, yes, 600, isn't that incredible? At the age of 600, Noah would finally complete this ark and the floodwaters would begin. And listen to what takes place in Genesis chapter 7. As the floodwaters would start to settle in on the earth. Verse 6, it says, "Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood." Jumping down to verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 7th day of the 2nd month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth and the floodgates of the heavens were opened and it started a flood." And in verse 12, listen to this. "And the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, Noah had to go on the ship with his family, and they had all of these animals on there as well. He was on there for 7 days before the floodwaters came, and then the floodwaters came, and it was 40 days and 40 nights. And in the end, by the time the water would recede and they'd get off the boat, Noah would be on this boat for 150 days, 5 months. 5 months. Now, if you've ever gone on vacation with your family, you might be able to relate to this a little bit. After like a week or two with your family, you're ready for a little bit of space, aren't you? You just need a little space, especially if you have a lot of kids. You just need some peace and quiet. Could you imagine 5 months on a boat with your family and a bunch of stinky animals? This is where Noah was. 5 months. He's on this boat. Noah would go from practicing patience and persistence in the building of this giant boat for some 5 to 7 decades to now finding himself on that exact same boat for 5 months, not being able to leave, having to practice patience all over again. You see, we learned something important about patience from Noah. If you look back over your life, there are moments that you would say your shining moments of achievement. Maybe it was the day you graduated from high school or college. Maybe it was the day you got married. Might be the day that you had your children. Could be the day that your children move out of the house. For some of you, you're still waiting for that day. It'll come. Hold on to that promise. Some of you, it might be the day your first grandchildren are born. Or your grandchildren get married. Whatever it might be, those moments that we look back on are really, really special moments in our life. But each of those moments of achievement and accomplishment in your life are separated by seasons of waiting. And if we learn anything from Noah, it's this. That waiting isn't something to be endured, but it's something to be expected. Waiting is something that we will all experience. And our response to seasons of waiting is patience and persistence. Why? Because of the promise that will be fulfilled at the end. Noah went from one season of waiting and patience and persistence of building this giant boat to another season of waiting, of being stuck on the boat. One season of waiting after another. But interspersed in those seasons of waiting are these amazing moments where you see God's promise fulfilled. Those are the highlights of your life. And if you can learn something from Noah, it's if you're waiting, if you find yourself in a season of waiting, hold on, because the promise is coming. The promise is coming. Each of those moments that you look back on fulfilled promises in your life, the promise of a diploma or of a spouse or a promise of children. The thing that can keep us patient and persistent is to reflect back on the fulfilled promises in our lives and recognize the periods of waiting that were in between them. Noah went from that long period of decades to a period of 5 months. In our lives are these same seasons of waiting intertwined with these seasons of fulfilled promises. And maybe you're here today and you find yourself in that season of waiting. Maybe you're here today and you're holding on to the promise. Maybe God has given you a promise and maybe he hasn't. And you're wondering, God, where are you? What are you doing in my life right now? Are you doing anything? It might seem like a waste. Could you imagine Noah nailing a plank of wood that's maybe 8 feet long on a boat that's going to be 450 feet long and 3 stories high? Seems so insignificant. God, am I even making progress in my life? You ask so many questions. And I want you to know this morning that God is waiting for you. He's not waiting for you to do something. He's not waiting for you to necessarily jump through all these hoops. He's waiting for you to grow and to develop into the person that will step perfectly into that promise that he has designed for you. He doesn't want to shortchange it. He's not slow in keeping his promises, but he's willing to be patient with you. And maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, how much longer do I have to wait? I want you to know, it's not how much longer do you have to wait, but what is God's promise? Because the length of time is insignificant. Because life is a period of waiting, one after another. But when we can hold on to God's promise, what is that promise? It makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. Getting to see that single person meet that spouse that they'll spend the rest of their life with. Every time you ask someone, they will always say, it was worth it. It was worth the wait. Why? Because God's promises are better than you could ever imagine if you're willing to wait. Maybe you're here today and you've been asking the questions and you've been in that season of waiting and you're grasping for any kind of promise and you haven't been able to find it. God's word is full of his promises. His promises are true. He says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that he has a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. His word says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. His promises are true. No matter how difficult life has become, no matter how many questions you ask, know that God is still in control. If we are willing to be patient and persistent, we'll experience fulfillment of his promises in our life in his perfect, perfect timing. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you. Lord, for your promises. God, I thank you that you love us and you care for us. Lord, through seasons of waiting, through the seasons of uncertainty, God, you are still looking down on us, Lord, with love, with compassion. Lord, ready to see that promise fulfilled in your perfect timing. God, I pray this morning for those that are waiting that you would give them patience and persistence. Lord, touch them this morning. Maybe you're here today as we're continuing to pray. You'd say, you know, Nick, right now, I'm walking through that season of waiting. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to give up. I just don't know what to do, and I just need a promise from God to hold on to this morning. I want to pray for you. If that's you this morning, would you lift up your hand? I just want to pray and agree in prayer with you. Anyone else? I see those hands. Anyone else? Just lift up your hand this morning. Anyone else? Let's pray this morning. God, I pray right now for those whose hands have been raised, Lord. Lord, that have found themselves in this season of waiting. God, this season of uncertainty. God, I pray right now that you begin to reveal your promises. God, you would begin to reveal yourself to them right now. God, that they would see the promise that they can hold on to, just as you did to Noah, Lord. Lord, they would see the possibilities that are on the other side. Lord, what you are doing in them and what you're going to do through them. God, I pray you would reveal your promises to those that are in that season of waiting this morning. God, make your presence known to them today through the questions, Lord. Lord, be there right there with them. Maybe as we continue to pray, you're here this morning and you'd say, you know, Nick, I'm in a season of waiting and it feels like I am totally lost. I don't know where to turn or what to do. I've come to church this morning and have more questions than I have answers, and I don't know what to do. You know what is true for you? The same promise that God gave to Noah can be true for you today. A new beginning, a new start, a fresh start. The Bible says in the New Testament that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come. God can make all things new in your life. No longer holding your past against you, but seeing you with fresh eyes through the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. He came and gave his life so that you could be made new this morning. And as you're praying, maybe you're here and you say, Nick, I need a fresh start today. I need Christ in my life. I've been walking through life on my own, and I've been waiting for that one thing that will finally fulfill my life. I want you to know that God can fulfill your life. He made a commitment to you, a promise to you that he would never leave you nor forsake you, and that he would be patient with you so that you could come to this place of knowing repentance and forgiveness that comes through Christ. And if you're here this morning, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as well. We're going to pray together to experience this fulfillment of God's promise of salvation in our life. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to pray in a moment, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, if that's you. Three, just lift your hand today to heaven, just between you and God. We're going to pray together. Lift your hand to God this morning. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Would everyone just pray this prayer with me this morning together? As a family, I'm going to be a guide. This isn't a magic formula, but simply a conversation with God. And what we're about to do, I would ask every one of you to do this on your own on a regular basis. Just talk to God. Share what's on your heart. If you can repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, thank you for being patient with me and sending your son Jesus to die on my behalf so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have a hope and a future. God, today I receive that promise And I commit to live for you according to your purposes and your desires. Give me the courage to follow you every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd encourage you to share that with someone. But also, I'd encourage you to continue to take steps towards him. Coming to church is one of those, but even beyond that, if you don't have a Bible, if you ask someone at the Connection Center, they can get you some resources and start getting into God's word this week. Would you stand with me this morning?